everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Young Pyromancer Podcast. I'm Ezra, one of your co-hosts, and because everyone, as you know, the coronavirus is keeping everyone in their houses, so we got to stay inside, but it doesn't stop us from being able to play Magic, so we decided to give you some bonus content, some stuff to keep you busy. We're going to skip New Horizons for now, and we're going to leave it for the episode with Charlie and Miles. But let's go into today's topic. Today's topic is playing from home. What we can do while we're at home, stuck at home, but we can still play Magic because it's a fun game, but normally Magic's a social game. Commander's a social game. You go out and you play with other people, but we can't do that now because we're all shut inside. So I'll today be talking about all of the different resources that I use while I'm not with my friends. So when I'm by myself, when I can't interact with people. Let's get into it. I'm going to talk about a bunch of different ways to play online. So there's lots of ways that you can play online. Although there's the main thing I think for us is it has to be free. We don't want to have to spend extra additional money playing Magic online. I don't think that I'd rather spend my money getting codes. So, some gameplay or emulators that we can use are, the most popular one now is MTG Arena, which is automated. I'm going to go into some pros and cons for each of these. So, MTG Arena is automated. It's run by Wizards of the Coast, which is the company that makes Magic. It's easy to use, looks great. It's free, but I think this is a very good resource. But the cons of it are you can only do standard and occasionally brawl, which is standard commander, which is what we talked on the cast last week about, and also has to be downloaded and only runs on Windows. So you can't run it on Mac, they're trying to bring it to Mac soon, but there's also not draft. They're trying lots of things. It's still it's not in beta anymore. It's on an official release. But they're still implementing new features every day. And another great resource that I have is, this is probably my favorite resources. I don't even think it's that well known, but untap.in is the URL. It's an emulator. It's a way to play online, except all the codes and all the formats are free. Almost all the features are free. It's in browser. It has a Chrome app that you can download if you want to, if you know what that is. That's not really that important, but the important thing is no downloads. Everything's free. There's a user-friendly deck building interface. It's extensive. There's paid features available if you want to, but you don't need to pay for the basic thing. It's a very good resource. This is what me and Charlie normally play on. And, the disadvantage is it's not automated. So, what I mean by automated is when you play a code, does it do something? Does, the animation run? Let's say I cast Lightning Strike. 3 damage to any target. Does it ask me what I would like to select? MTG Arena will say, what do you want to select as your target? And then it does 3 damage to it. Untap, you have to tell your opponent, I'm targeting it with this. And it doesn't say what the target is. You just have to, you drag Lightning Strike onto the playing field. It's more similar to what you would be doing if you were playing paper. It's just like if you were playing on a tabletop. But it's sleekly designed. You can import from all the different deck builders that we'll be talking about later in the episode. So I think if you're stuck inside and you just want to play Magic, Untap is a great resource. Lately it's been slow because there's so many people who are playing on Untap, but I think they're trying to fix their bandwidth, so that should be up and running again in a few days. Yeah, it's kind of a high learning curve. That's the cons. We're moving to the cons. High learning curve, it's not automated. You can only have 10 decks right now, and some of the features are still in the development stages. So you have to kind of sometimes you have to work around stuff, like there's not, but there's most functionalities. And the other benefit on Tap is if you like playing other TCGs, they have all of the, not all, but they have a large amount of TCGs already implemented. Magic's just the largest one played, so you can play Pokemon, you can play Dragon Ball Z, I think that's one of them. Anyways, there's a lot of games on Untap. Okay, so there's some other resources that you can use. The big one for a while was MTGO, Magic the Gathering Online. It's automated, run by WotC. Good is all automated. You can do everything, except the issue is you have to pay for every code. So that's just a really real big shutoff. So X-Mage is a good one as a result. It's automated. It's essentially free MTGO. But the interface is confusing and not clean. It's confusing. Oh, I already said that. But it requires multiple downloads to download the card databases. It's a good resource, don't get me wrong. But the automation, I'm not sure it makes up for all the downloading, all the hassle that you have to go through just to make stuff. There's Cockatrice, which I find is just a bad version of Untap, and also you have to download it. I don't think there's very much better about Cockatrice than there is Untap. Maybe it's a little bit faster, but it doesn't look very clean. It's a steep learning curve, so it's even harder to use than Untap. Multiple downloads. Yeah, and I don't think it's a very good option. So, overall, for the gameplay section, Untap, Dawnin, and MTG Arena, I think, are your best options. Oh, let's move into Card Searchers. So, Card Searchers, this is what you do when you're looking to brew a deck. When you're looking to brew a deck, no one wants to look through 20,000 cards. You need to narrow it down a little bit. You need to find the exact cards that you want. And this is where some stuff like Scryfall comes in. Scryfall is a simple, easy-to-use deck builder and card searcher. It has card pricing it has advanced search, lots of filters. I literally can't think of a con. When I was preparing for this episode, I couldn't think of a negative about Scryfall. It is my favorite. Whenever I'm brewing decks for the cast too, like when we brewed the Taste of Karlov deck, I used Scryfall so many times. There's random card generator. I mean, I could go on about Scryfall, but Scryfall, I think, if you're not using it, you need to be using Scryfall. And there are other card searchers out there, but the main one that people do use is Gatherer, which is the website that Wizards uses, except the issue is it's literally worse on everything than Scryfall. It doesn't have better things. Wizards says that they don't acknowledge the secondary market, so they don't have card prices on there. The only benefit I might think of over Scryfall is it has more recent rulings, but Scryfall gets up the new rulings very quickly. Scryfall also gets the spoilers out, so when cards are being spoiled, those don't go out into Gatherer until pretty close to release. So like pre-release weekend, they put them on there. But Scryfall, they're on there as soon as someone spoils it on Twitter. Like if Wizards gives something to say, Josh Lucroy and Jimmy Wong at the Command Zone, and they release the video, someone at the Scryfall dev team is going to immediately put it up on the website. Scryfall's great. Overall, I think best card searcher. Use it. It also has it does have a deck builder. It's still in development. So, I mean, you can do the deck builder if you want to. I do like using it for quick lists, though. I don't think it's the best as a final deck builder as you're refining your decks and cataloging your decks. But if you're trying to just make lists of cards that you might want to acquire, Scryfall is the best because you're looking through cards from the card search anyways, and then you just click add to list. Okay, deck builders is next on the list. So there's lots of deck builders out there. So the point of a deck builder online is so that you're not just going to TCG Player and you're punching in like 75 cards and clicking buy. Because otherwise you have no idea to like how to refine it. You need to build the deck. You need to brew it. So, when we brew decks on the show, we use Archidect, which is a relatively new software. Also, it runs in the browser. It's still officially in beta, so it it's still in Archidect 0. It hasn't fully released, so it's in beta testing. But I find that it's the best resource for building cards. The big thing that gives it an edge over everything else is it uses EDH Rec. It has an EDH Rec implementation, which EDH Rec, I'll get more into it later in the episode, but EDH Rec basically it gives you the most popular cards for commanders and also card synergies. So you can import the most popular cards for those directly into your Archidect deck. It's got a great user interface. You can do drag and drop, but you can also set it to like buttons. You can drag stuff around. You can sort it by a bunch of different categories. It also has it's definitely still in beta, this one feature, but what goldfishing is basically when you're just playing with yourself. So it has a good playtesting feature. Cons, still in beta, but that actually can be seen as a pro because they're still adding more features, so it's only getting better. Other good deck builders are Tapped Out, Tapped Out's pros are High Traffic. It's the most commonly used deck builder. It has good statistics, but Archidect basically is the same statistics. And it's just not that user-friendly. That would be what I would say is the con. It's not as nice looking as Archidect. Archidect's got more like a sleek modern look, and then Tapped Out looks like it was made in 2010. I mean, no offense to Tapped Out, but its interface is kind of outdated, so I think it just needs to get more features. I mean, that would be the downside of Archidect. It doesn't have all the features that Tapped Out. Both very good, don't get me wrong, but Archidect gets the edge because of the EDH Rec implementation. MTG Goldfish has a deck builder, but I think it's better as a metagame checker and a card pricer. There's very little features in their deck builder. And there's others like deckstats.net, and they're just clunky, they're not well developed. The other ones, they just don't look as nice. They're outdated, like Tapped Out, kind of. Anyways, Archidect, Tapped Out. I think that's what you want to use for your deck builders. Next we have, we're all shut inside because of this coronavirus. You can go outside, but because we're supposed to be social distancing, going to a local game store really isn't that much of an option. All the shops are closed down because everyone's quarantining. So, as a result, buying online is a main way of getting cards. So I believe the best place to buy and sell cards is TCG Player. And, I don't know if it's the absolute best, but overall, I think TCG Player is the best place to buy and sell cards. With TCG Player Direct, you can get very few packages, so either like one or two. It's what we use to price all of our cards, TCG Player Direct, Card Optimizer. They have the Card Optimizer, which lets you choose exactly what features you want in the cards, so like which printing you want, what condition. And I think it's got the lowest prices out of anywhere. It has a pretty good buy list, so when you're selling cards, they'll take your cards to sell. Yeah, the only con I can think of TCG Player is slow shipping and less of a shipping guarantee, so it might get damaged. But I think TCG Player is a very good place to buy cards. Code Kingdom is another very good resource for buying and selling cards. They'll buy your cards. Incredibly fast shipping. There's lots of content creators that are sponsored by Code Kingdom. So there's the EDH Rec cast, there's Command Zone, and Tolarian Community College. They're all sponsored by Code Kingdom, so if you use their affiliate links, you can support them. So that's a pro, is those places that you can support them. The cons are those higher prices. Most of the time TCG Player has lower prices, and but they have really fast shipping. But the last con is the minimum card price is 25 cents, which isn't that great for our budget building, and that's why we don't use Card Kingdom for our pricing. Because, I'll let you in on a little secret. We try to keep our budget pretty low I mean, I think that was kind of obvious, but, like, we want to get a low price for Odex, and, I mean, Card Kingdom, they make up for it with their fast shipping, though. I have not bought cards from Card Kingdom, but I, from what I've heard, they're a good place to buy your cards. And then, when this whole thing clears through, or if you're listening, and this whole thing is blown by. So if you're listening in 2021, looking back and laughing at this whole COVID epidemic, we're all shut inside and, like, can't do anything. go to your local game store. So wherever you can buy stuff locally. So wherever you buy or sell cards, wherever you go and buy booster packs, help support local businesses. Amazon's driving so many of those out of business. And also makes you, like, if you know about how, like, Amazon and big capitalist and stuff like that is driving local businesses out of business, it makes yourself feel good, kind of. It, like, spend the extra 50 cents, even though it has lower stock and higher prices, spend the extra 50 cents, spend the extra dollar, and just know that you helped them out. And last resource, eBay. I mean, less guarantee that your cards are coming in the right condition, because it's not a card selling website per se. Slow shipping sometimes, but the pro can be, it can sometimes have lower prices, so you can get lower prices for your cards because they're being auctioned off. And let's say someone's auctioning a Teferi or something, like a Teferi Time Raveler. And market price on Teferi is like, let's say, I don't know this exactly, but let's say like $20. And somebody is selling it on eBay for $10, expecting it to go up. So like it's an auction, starting bid $10. And you wait, no one's bidding on it. And then there's 5 seconds left in the bid, and you hit buy. And you got your Teferi for $15. So you can, now you have your Teferi, but you got it for cheaper. If you got your Teferi, and it was in like, heavily played condition, or damaged, or it was like torn in half, or there was water damage or something. There's low guarantees when you're using eBay. So, final count up for buying and selling cards, TCG Player, Card Kingdom, local game store. And, well, that's it for the big things that we do on the podcast that you can do at home for fun. So, I mean, we're all looking for ways to pass the time. I mean, we're getting online schoolwork, and we're all not going to school, so we're working if you're an adult and for some reason are listening to the podcast. Anyways, if you're a kid and you're shut inside, and, like, if you're in middle school, you're probably getting, middle school like us, you're probably getting homework. You're, like, you got homework, and you get stuff over Google Classroom or whatever you use. Okay, so, lastly, we've got some other resources that we use, that you can use to, when we're passing the time over these next few weeks. Or your brewing decks. So, brewing decks for playing on Untap or on MTG Arena. Or with your friends when we can go interact with them again. EDH Rec, what I talked about earlier, but I'm going to go into more in depth now. If you want to learn more about EDH Rec, you can check them out or listen to the EDH Rec podcast. Quick shout out right there. They're now past their 100th episode, so congratulations. That's very far in our future, but hopefully we'll hit 100. But they have the most data. EDH Rec has the most data out of any other site. They have tons of advanced features. You can look up the most popular commanders. You can look up the most popular cards. Most popular cards played in what commanders, most popular commanders played with what cards. Anyways, anything that you wanted to know about Commander, it's on EDH Rec. They've also got news articles and fun brews on their website, and overall, great. I think it's the best Commander site overall, for Commander. I can't think of any cons. It's completely unmatched. We'll probably end up going more in depth on EDH Rec in a future episode because we love it so much. But anyways, go check it out. Oh, also, if you like Oathbreaker, they do have a new Oathbreaker website for for that reason. Because Oathbreaker, if you guys know, Oathbreaker is another commander like format, except you use a planeswalker, and the planeswalker has a signature spell. MTG stocks, good for card pricing. You can see all the card graphs. You can see the prices go up and go down. You can do the same thing on MTG Goldfish. MTG Goldfish is good for that. They have a good place to see the competitive metagames. And MTG Top 8 is another good place to see the competitive metagame, along with MTG Goldfish. There's not that many nice features about MTG Top 8, but it's good to see the tournament results, see who wins what. Also, if you ever see a card pricing and you're like, huh, why is that card spiking? You can look it up on EDHREC and on MTG stocks, and then you can normally figure out what it's doing. Or you can look, I think there's a way to see it on MTG Top 8. So if you look at MTG Top 8, MTG Goldfish has a good tool for that. So if you go, if you just search a card on MTG Goldfish, then you can see the recent competitive decks it was in and what places they got. So if a card suddenly spiking, that might be why. There's the MTG Gamepedia Wiki. It's good for those Vorthoses out there who like the Magic story. Also, if you want to see all the cycles of cards from sets, it has lots of good, just general Magic the Gathering as a game information, trivia, stuff like that. There's Reddit, the Magic subreddit, the EDH subreddit, the Budget Brews subreddit, and yeah, there's lots of subreddits that you can go look up. Just look up Magic the Gathering on Reddit. There's Pioneer Reddit, there's a Modern Reddit, I think if you are a teenager living in the digital age, you know what Reddit is. It's the best place for all, like, stuff, just what's going on in the community. And I think that's it for our resources, but because we're all shut in and stuff like that, I get it, sometimes it's tough. Like, I'm already getting some, like, cabin fever stuff. I'm gonna go run around outside or do something. I don't know. I'm gonna go do something after I record this, but you can do lots of other Magic-related stuff while we're on this unexpected break. You can listen to podcasts. We're trying to put up as much content as we can, so listen to us over these next few weeks. Like, share, and subscribe. Yay. But there's some other great podcasts that I know I listen to, that I'm subscribed to, that I listen to every week. I love podcasts. That's why I was inspired to start one, and then I didn't drag Charlie into it. I was like, hey, wouldn't it be a cool idea if we did a Magic podcast? And he wasn't even like, maybe he was just like, sure, let's do it. Why not? Okay, but good podcast. The first Magic podcast that I listened to, that I still listen to, it's what really got me into Commander, was the Command Zone podcast. I got into that after I watched Game Nights, which is what I'm going to talk about afterwards. The Command Zone is a great place. I mean, if you're listening to Commander podcasts, you're probably listening to them. If you're listening to us but not them, I mean, we're cool and all, I know, but, like, go listen to them, because they're, like, the best in the biz. Okay, so then we've got, maybe I wouldn't call them our competitors, but they're like us, they're budget. They have to do with Budget Commander, the Commander's Brew, and the Commander's Quarters podcast. Those are two great podcasts that if you're listening to us, go listen to them. Like, I don't think that we need to be competitors. Just listen to everyone. Consume content. Help the content creators. Yay. There's the EDH Reccast, which is what I talked about earlier. They go in-depth about, not really in-depth, but they talk about the EDH Rec website. They talk about lots of statistics, so if you're a big, like, math nerd like me, and you also happen to like Magic, EDH Rec, great place for you. If you like general Magic trivia, or stuff about Magic that you didn't know, or you're just curious, the Muck Rosewater's Drive to Work podcast. We can do another pros and cons here. Pros, awesome. From the head designer. Muck Rosewater is the head designer of Magic, for those of you who didn't know. I think there is one slight con, but it can also be seen as a pro. It is, it's not a gimmick. It's a feature. He records it on his way to work. So, it's taken in a car, so if you, it's recorded in a car, so if you're like a big audio fiend, you won't listen to something with background hum. You're, one, you're strange, and two, just listen to the podcast, it's fun. He goes into depth about the color wheel. Recently, he's been doing a series on the color wheel. And, there's the MTG Goldfish podcast. They go into the latest news. So they're basically our New Horizons segment, except they go more in-depth about it. And they're also more knowledgeable about competitive formats in Draft and MTG Arena than we are. So, don't listen to us dummies. Go listen to, MTG Goldfish. Also, this is probably not for the younger listeners, but you can listen to the Brainstorm Brewery podcast, which is an MTG, they used to be an MTG Finance podcast, but they've rebranded themselves as an MTG Lifestyle podcast because approximately only like 20% of their content is actually Magic related. So, but they're hilarious. If you want to be laughing while listening to stuff about Magic the Gathering, go listen to the Brainstorm Brewery podcast. They're hilarious. There's some cursing in there though, and some of their jokes like lean on the PG-13 side. I mean, it's not bad. So I mean, ask your parents, I guess. Listen to us, I put down here. I mean, sure. Listen to us. We're putting out lots of content. Yay. Okay. That's it for podcasts. There's lots of YouTube channels that we watch. There's Game Nights. They're pretty much the original Commander. They're the Commander gameplay series. They're the most famous. You've probably heard of it. But go listen to Game Nights. Watch Game Nights. There's the Commander's Quarters, which is, I think they're really, I mean, Mitch over at the Commander's Quarters is kind of the big pioneer of, like, what got people big into, like, super budget builds, so, like, $25, $50 builds, and has been, Mitch notably is single-handedly known for the driving up of the price of Wayfarer's Bauble, and, so, Mitch, we hate you for not being able to put colorless ramp in our decks, but we love your content, so hooray. There's Alpha Investments. If you like opening videos, like box opening videos, booster pack opening videos, Rudy's hilarious. Go listen to Alpha Investments. And if you're into CEDH or competitive EDH, I have one deck that's leaning on the side of CEDH, and Charlie has one too. But Playing with Power, MTG, they're a great resource for if you want to listen to or watch Commander gameplay. It's faster than Game Nights. Game Nights is like an hour-long episode because they're doing like there's the interview parts, and it's more like a reality TV show. It's like a game show kind of, except it's not scripted. But yeah, so Playing with Power is like a 15-minute watch. You don't hear the people's voices, but there's the narrator, and they're playing the like fast competitive EDH. So win as fast as you can, cutthroat, let's destroy each other, infinite combos. So if you're into that sort of stuff, go watch that. Now moving into being able to like play stuff while you're stuck in your houses. You can play with your friends still. Play over Discord video chat, FaceTime, or Hangouts. Like, if you want to still play with your paper cards, you can definitely still do that. I've seen people on Reddit making, like, cardboard box cutouts so that they can put their phone in the top. And a lamp. I mean, you don't even have to do that fancy of a setup. Just announce your plays and stuff. We've tried it, Charlie and I, but it works. We plan on tap most of the time, though. Make content. So we hope we are inspiring the next generation of young Magic the Gathering content creators. I mean, there's some out there. When I was looking for content made by kids, I mean, we don't brand ourselves as saying for kids, but I think most of our listeners are going to end up being kids. We are an all-ages podcast, so all ages listen to us. But anyways, there's not a ton of great kid-made Magic podcasts, even though I know that there's a huge kid community that play podcast, like that play Magic. You can just go into a school. There's like one table where there's just like 8 Magic games going on. But make content. We're not looking to compete with anyone. It's just like just make content. Bring it out into the world. We need it. It's like also, if you do make content and you do decide to make content, then send it to us. We love to listen to it. We're not experts in this by any means, by any stretch of the mind, but we just hope we're inspiring people to get out and to play Magic and have a fun time doing it. Magic's a fun game, so have fun while doing it. Get hyped for Icoria. The spoilers start April 2nd, releases like 2 weeks from then. I'm super hyped for Icoria. Looks like big, giant monsters. And Mark Rosewater released a tweet about on his blog. He released something talking about what like some cryptic clues that we're going to debrief in the next episode with Charlie and Miles, but it looks cool. There's like a dinosaur turtle action going on. There's like mutation. Anyways, all that in the next episode. But play with your siblings and or parents. Commander's a social game, but if you have 2, 3, or 4, or 5 people in your house, get them to play Magic. I know sometimes it might seem like, oh, they're not gonna play Magic. You can do it. I've gotten to try to get my sister into playing, and she'll play with me occasionally. She'll play games of Commander with me, but like my parents don't play, and they don't help with the content. I mean, that's nothing against my parents, but like we're all of our content is just made by me and Charlie and Miles. We're producing all of the content. So if there's like bad sound quality and stuff, that's why. Because we're a bunch of kids trying to make content. I mean, there's nothing against kids, but we hope that we can just keep you busy. I don't know, be productive. Magic's a leisurely thing, but we still gotta be doing school type stuff, so get your schoolwork done, but also have some fun. Like, it's kind of bothersome and stressful. Like, there's this deadly virus going around that might kill everyone. But have fun. So, stay safe from the whole Young Pirate Rangers team. Charlie and Miles couldn't be on this episode. But we're recording another one tonight where they will be on. So, we're going to be releasing 2 consecutive episodes this week. But stay safe and enjoy your time. Stay safe. Spend time with your family. Do your schoolwork. Do your homework, kids. And, yeah, we'll see you very soon. Next episode should be releasing soon. See you later.